Lauren Mary Kim, and you're watching Carbonite Crew Podcast. And I was the stunt double for Ahsoka for the Clone Wars.
Hello there. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the Carbonite Crew Podcast. It has been a while, but we are back. We are better than ever. We hope you guys are all doing well. We decided to take a little time off, and we wanted to come back strong and, you know, just kind of give you guys the best content that we can. We wanted to start really, really engaging with you guys and doing more interviews and more fun segments and just kind of keep it light and just fun. And at the end of the day, you know, this is Star Wars. This is pop culture that we're talking about. This is supposed to make people happy. So let's be happy and let's have a good time with it. This episode you're about to listen to, we had the opportunity to interview none other than the amazing Lauren Mary Kim. Lauren has been in countless huge movies and TV shows and so many things that you wouldn't realize, because a lot of these stunt actors and actresses don't really get the fame and the recognition that the actors and other actresses do. But she's there working right alongside with these people, doing the stunts for them, making them look good, making the action sequences look awesome. We hope you guys really enjoy this interview that we had with Lauren. May the Force be with you.
I know Anakin. Your vision is flawed.
I see the Padawan needs one last lesson.
To do that, though, I needed somebody that could, you know, portray Ahsoka physically.
I'm really honored to actually work with Ray Park. It's been nothing but a great journey, and we've been collaborating, and the fans will really like this fight. It's really grounded, rooted, but then there's a lot of action-y moves that I think the fans will really like.
Lauren's really fast because she's using two lightsabers. There's a timing, there's a beat. It's like you're dancing, you feel an energy from the other person.
So thank you for coming on, Lauren. We appreciate your time. For many of you that don't know, Lauren actually was, the reason we're having her on, she actually was the stunt, I guess CGI stunt double for Ahsoka Tano in the Clone Wars series, mm-hmm. this past previous season. Let's just jump right into that, I guess.
Yeah, we can. I know a lot of the people that listen to like the Star Wars stuff want to like know like kind of your take on it, like not just like, you know, having to wear like all the mocap like gear and all of that, and having to you know, work through that and eat through that and like be able to like just go through everything they needed to do, but like what was it like on set, you know, what's going on in the background. I think, I mean, we're definitely curious. I don't know. What's your first question, Tyler?
First and foremost, I guess, what was it like working with Ray Park? Darth Maul himself.
I know, it's crazy. I was really nervous to meet him because, you know, it's Ray Park.
Right.
So I was like, oh my God, I hope he's nice. I hope he doesn't think I suck. I hope, you know, you just get really nervous that you're like meeting a big celebrity in a way.
Yeah.
And I think I didn't sleep that well the night before. And then we had a one-on-one rehearsal the first day I met him, and he was, like, right away super nice, super friendly, super, like, you know, just very relatable, very cool, very hyper, very good energy. So it made me feel a lot more comfortable, and it was so easy to work for him. Oh, my God, so easy. Mm-hmm. So he's, like, one of the most positive people I've ever met.
Oh wow, that's awesome! How long did you guys work together to film that whole duel sequence?
So we met twice to do like to make up the choreography and to rehearse it for 2 days. I think we had like, I don't even know, like maybe 6 hours or something like that.
Okay.
To work on our choreo and stuff and make up the choreo, and then from there we flew to San Francisco another day, and we met Dave Filoni. So I'm sure you guys know who Dave Filoni is.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And we had a little run through with him, and we talked out the beats with him, showed him the choreography, which he loved, and then he made a couple changes which he thought would be better for like Ahsoka or Darth Maul. So he would tweak things, and then the next day we shot, and it was like an 8-hour day, I think. I died.
So did you and Ray Park come up with the choreography yourself, or was there someone on set that kind of had it laid out already?
That's what it sounds like. It feels like you were able to like add in a lot. So like how much were you able to like add in to like all that sequence basically?
So me and Ray actually made up the choreography those 2 days of the rehearsal on our own. We didn't have anyone with us. It was just the two of us. So we just brainstormed those days and like literally just ran through it, changed it, ran through it again, try to see what works, what doesn't work. And then that's when Dave came in and like tweaked some stuff, but it was mainly the three of us that did the choreography.
That's super cool. I mean, there's no one better to help choreograph the fight than Darth Maul himself, right?
Yeah. So, it was pretty cool.
What was it like? I guess playing a role as iconic as Ahsoka Tano now. I mean, she's basically one of the top characters for any Star Wars fan, regardless, it seems nowadays.
Wow. That's pretty crazy to think that she is. Because there's so many characters.
Yeah. I know.
And it's kind of surreal because, I don't know, I guess it feels like a milestone in my career, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, to feel like I've got to capture her. I mean, it was only one episode, but yet it was such an impact with fans. Mm-hmm. And I really felt it when I got so many messages on Instagram and, you know, and on my YouTube page. So it was phenomenal. So yeah, it's definitely a milestone for me.
That's awesome. And I know personally, like just watching the fight the first time around, I remember just sitting down with Daniel. I think we watched it together and I was just like, this is probably one of my favorite like lightsaber fights in all of Star Wars.
Yeah, like watching how like realistic it was compared to the rest of the show, and even just the new season included. Like I could just see like how much work was put into it and how detailed it was. Like how much you and Rey were like putting into it, like the effort. And I was just like, this is by far one of the best fighting sequences I've ever seen put together. And I was like, I was blown away. It was really cool.
It was impressive, to say the least.
That means a lot to me. Like, that's crazy. I had no idea how, like, big of a deal this would actually be. You know, Dave would, like, be like, how does it feel? And I'm like, I don't know how it feels. Because, you know, it hasn't come out. And he's just like, can you believe this? And I had no idea how well it was received or would be received. So,
That's a great segue, because we were actually wondering, like, what was it like working with Dave Filoni? Like, first off, what was he like just having him there? I know he really is, for, like, Star Wars fans, he really is just an icon, just, like, a visionary for them, ourselves included. So what was he like, pretty much? What was your experience working with him?
Man, he's like the god of Star Wars, right?
That's a really good...
He knows what we want before we know what we want. It's weird.
I think they have like this thing called "What Would Filoni Do?"
Like WWTF.
I think it's WWE. I don't know. Is that a movement? That's what I heard from a friend.
I've not heard of that, but I'll live by that motto. I'm fine. Well, what would Dave Filoni do?
I was also nervous to meet him, and you know, he was super, obviously really nice, really friendly as well, and like super creative, and he knows all the characters inside and out, because you know, he created Ahsoka.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to soak up as much as I could from him. Like, if he was like, I think she should do like Kali moves, okay, I'm like, okay, Kali moves, and you know, I think she should move like this. So like, you know, he really gave me notes, so that really helped me. And he was really good through the whole process, like really just like good energy as well on set. And, you know, he has a vision and he already has it in his mind and he knows where he wants to shoot it. He's like, okay, I'll come from this angle and then I'll do this. And then it'd be really cool if we punched in on this part. So like he really shot it like as if it was a real live action shoot.
Yeah.
He had the 3D camera. I don't know if you saw the BTS.
Yeah.
He had the 3D camera and he could actually maneuver it and shoot how he wanted to, as if he was like really a camera operator on set. Right.
That's just so wild. This is the technology.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that anyone could do anything like this, just put that together, was just, I know from watching the behind the scenes from the Mandalorian, that they have on Disney Plus, just like the fact of like how he seems to have such a vision for things. And then he just works with the people who are alongside him. we really wanted to know what it was like for you, just because it seems like he has a vision, but he also wants to make sure he's taking in, like, as many different points of view and is getting as many good tips and advice from everyone he's working with. So I'm glad that it sounded so awesome for you.
Yeah, he really listens to other people. Like, I was watching the Disney Plus gallery thing too, and he really, like, took notes from Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
Really cool, because he's not used to directing live action, so he really, you know, looked up to him to that. And, you know, when Ray and I helped choreograph the scene, he would really take note of, like, what we did and, like, try to keep most of it. Like, he really kept the skeleton and the bones of that fight of what we originally created.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was really cool of him, because, you know, some directors can be really, like, egotistical and be like, no, I want it like this and this and this, right, and changing the whole thing. And then you're like, well, I did nothing now. Why didn't you just make it yourself? But no, he was really open-minded, so I really appreciated that.
That's super neat, letting you have that creative freedom and keeping your vision, you know, intertwining with his. So how did you, were you approached for the role, for this role, or was it something you auditioned for? How did that go down?
So my friend, I don't know if you guys know Amy Johnston. She's an actor, stunt performer. Mm-hmm. She has a couple of movies on Netflix. She actually got called for the job, and then she couldn't do it, and so she called me. Okay. And then they, I guess they looked up my stuff, and then they were happy with me, and so they went with me. So I was so grateful that she was not
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That is awesome.
That is.
And I mean, really look at it now.
Yeah, it's been really crazy with how many, like, interviews I got requested for. And I had no idea it would be like this. I had no idea.
I think definitely Star Wars fans have, like, just a special kind of passion that they just want to, like, know as much. And just all the people involved in the projects are always, like, we definitely see what they do and, like, all the work that it takes to get that done.
Yeah. It's the fans are everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we want to know everything, and we want to just... I mean, I remember, because I think we found out that you had played this role because we were just talking about the fight and how Ray Park had done the mocap for it. And I think it was Daniel, actually. He's like, who did Ahsoka? I was like, well, let's find out. And we found you online and just started going through all your stuff and all the stuff you've done, and it was pretty impressive. And
yeah, I think that, like, the day after that, when we were just wondering about that, is when I think I was looking on Instagram and someone just put the behind the scenes, and then we watched that whole, like, the get up and, like, Dave sort of in the corner, but, like, at the same time, like, just going around while you guys were doing everything, and I was just like, that's actually really cool. I would love to learn more about, you know, what went on behind.
Some fans might not know, you actually did stunt performances for the Armorer in the first season of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
As well. In that awesome, I think it was the last episode, where you just basically just go to town on all the stormtroopers and all that.
Yeah.
Was that, how was that role?
Well, I felt like a lot different. Same, but a lot different. I actually got the role because the stunt coordinator I knew, his name's Ryan Watson, and He, Dave Filoni told him, I really want, like, a Kali style fight, and Jon Favreau is also a fan of the Kali arts. And so Ryan knew I also trained Kali, and then I think he showed my stuff, or he showed my headshot or something to Dave, and Dave's like, I know her, we used her in a show. So he was already familiar with me and my work, so that's kind of how that relationship blossomed into doubling Emily. Yeah, like, immediately I went into, like, wardrobe fittings, like, months and months ahead of it, because they had to, you know, take the time to measure me and, like, everything.
Because that
was a really intricate suit, actually.
It does look really cool, I definitely, like, was it, like, weighty? Was it, like, something that...
Was that helmet heavy?
Yeah, it definitely looks heavy. The helmet.
Yeah, I think it was, because, well, everything felt heavy because it was hot too, because the lighting and then the wardrobe, because it's like literally a jumpsuit, like a one piece jumpsuit, and then they put like all these different armor pieces on you, and you know, I think it's like all your extremities are pretty much in armor, like it's not real, obviously,
right?
Or it's not even Beskar, because Beskar is only but it was like a hard plastic, but you know, it doesn't breathe, and it's heavier, and it was like everywhere. It's like you know, you couldn't really bend your knees that well. Mm-hmm. You know, you only could like go this high with your arm. So I felt like a gingerbread man. and then that fur thing, cape, like short cape thing. Mm-hmm. That like added another element of just like heat exhaustion. That fight just felt more grounded because the character was, you know, in real life, that character would have been more grounded because she is heavily protected. And so, yeah, I had to really make that fight grounded, which was easy because I was really feeling heavy. And, and so, like, versus Ahsoka, because she's just very floaty and moves really fast, she has a lot of energy, and she's younger, you know. We don't know what the age of the armor, but by Emily's has a very rich voice, so she has a lot of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she's armor, mm-hmm. and she makes a lot of the tools for people, and she's got her shit down, so she just seems a little more regal and older.
Definitely.
Whereas Ahsoka is younger, so you have to move like a younger, agile Jedi versus like a grounded like a woman.
That's really cool that you like even study like the specific characters that you have to like go into. I know that you keep mentioning, and from what we've seen from your reels, like you mentioned the Kali art. Can you like tell us a little bit more about that and what it is?
So Kali is also called Eskrima. It's a Filipino martial arts, which is well known for sticks and weaponry, but it can also be open hand. And the most famous instructor of the Kali art would be Guru Dan in Asanto, which it's his birthday today.
That's auspicious.
He turned, 84 today, and he was best friends with Bruce Lee.
Oh, okay.
And awesome. He was in the Game of Death, the little pagoda fight at the end, and he has nunchucks.
Oh, okay.
So cool.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So how did you get into, I guess, like the martial arts and like all that kind of work?
Well, I was taking a gymnastic class. This is like years ago, and I met a bunch of stunt guys, and they knew martial arts, and so they started training it with me, and then I got really like enamored by it. So I was like, I want to train on my own too. So I went to a dojo. I went to a Taekwondo school first, and that's where I got my first black belt. And then from there, I trained in Wushu, and then from there, I went to Inosanto Academy, did Kali, Silat, Muay Thai, JKD, and then at the same time I was also taking Capoeira. So, I just like try to train in many different martial arts, and it's definitely helped with my work because you have like a bigger library now.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can do this move from this art and this one from this one. So yeah, it's been really beneficial for me.
I was wondering, I know I've seen your reel, and I know you've like studied, and now hearing from you, you've studied so many different forms of martial arts, like. Have those influenced not just your job, but have those influenced like kind of like your life philosophy as well, just from all that you've learned?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just my personality too. Like, I may not be the best at anything, but I'm okay at a lot of things, which I'm okay with because I just have a thirst for knowledge. I just want to keep learning different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like Guru Dan always says, if you stop learning, that's when you can just, everything just stops. So you got to keep your brain like functioning and working and like, you know, working that mind muscle.
Definitely.
So,
So was acting and doing this type of work always something that you wanted to do, or is it kind of something you just fell into?
Something I just fell into.
Yeah.
I had no idea of this industry, like especially stunts. Like, you know, I come from a small town called Stockton. I don't know if you've heard of it, but
California?
Is that?
Yeah, it's from like Nick Diaz is from it. That's what
my aunt actually lives there.
What?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Small world.
So that's where I'm from, and so you know, there's no entertainment industry there at all. So, you know, I grew up as a dancer, so I always did like the arts from that, theater and stuff like that. But I never thought I would grow up to be in this industry at all. I thought I'd be like working in the financial district in San Francisco. So I literally just fell into this industry, and I can't imagine being in a 9-to-5 now because
it's
a creative field that I feel like I'm a very creative mind, so I feel like this is what my path was.
That's yeah. very awesome. I mean, like, I can't, I try to think back to, like, what inspired me for my, like, own job choice. And do you have, like, anybody who, like, because I know there's a lot of, I think I've seen a few of your stuff that has, like, Bruce Lee quotes. Is there anyone that inspired you initially to take up, like, this line of work or that wanted, like, keeps you going when you, like, wake up and you're like, man, I don't want to do this, or, like...
Man, there's a lot of days I wake up where I'm like, man, I'm getting tired. I mean, sometimes it gets tiring because it's like anything else, but you just, I think when I watch movies, TV shows, I watch Instagram and I see people training, that's what moves me, because it's like, yeah, you're right, this is what I want to do, this mm-hmm. is why I do it, and it reminds me, because sometimes you're just lazy, you just don't want to train, but yeah, all of us get unmotivated, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's just a human being, yeah, yeah. I think. And yeah, but when I watch certain TV shows or movies, especially like new stuff, it drives me, because I'm like, oh, what else can we do? What else can we do? So that's what keeps me going, and that what keeps the juices in my mind going to like create my own projects too. Mm-hmm. So
can I ask, what is your favorite TV show right now, or your favorite movie? Like, what are you like binging right now, or what are you streaming?
Well, I'm watching that new Netflix show called, it's the one with the sword and the girl from 13 Reasons. Cursed.
Yeah, I saw that pop up.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's just, you gotta watch the ads. The little like ones that pop up at the
I'm
top.
I'm on Hulu most of the time.
I feel like it was, everyone's trying to be a little game of, like, who's gonna be the next Game of Thrones?
Right.
A little. Because it feels like the set feels a little Game of Thrones-y. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It hasn't captured me yet, but I already watched like 3 or 4 episodes.
Okay.
So it kind of captured me already. But I really like C with Jason Momoa on Apple TV. I saw that.
That one looked good. I haven't seen that one. Okay. That one looks
really
super
like
good.
That. I mean, there's so many shows because, you know, it's quarantine life.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
There's so many shows I've seen. I can't even remember everything I've seen. But C, I really liked. What else? I just saw The Old Guard with Charlize.
Oh yeah, that one that came out with Charlize.
You did a really good job.
You haven't seen it. You gotta watch that. The things that pop up at the top. You always gotta like take a look at them, and then you're like, yeah, I'll watch this later, and then you never do, because that's literally me every single time.
I have a bad habit of just watching the same stuff over and over. You know me.
What are you guys watching right now?
Oh my gosh, I could watch anything.
I'm finishing Gotham finally after 2 years. Rewatching How I Met Your Mother.
Oh man,
love my sitcom.
What are you watching?
I just finished How I Met Your Mother. My wife's got me, which this is a good segue because I did want to ask. My wife's got me watching Grey's Anatomy. I know. I just finished one of my favorite animes with my wife because a new season came out. Kaguya-sama, Love is War. If anyone has heard of it, it's amazing. You know it. That's one of my favorite anime. It's called Kaguya-sama, Love is War. It's basically like two teenagers who like want to make each other like confess that they actually like each other, but they don't want to tell anybody. It's like a modern day Pride and Prejudice almost.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. It's funny though.
Okay.
But I did want to ask about Grey's. I know in your like film reels, and I've seen like on IMDb that you're somewhere in Grey's Anatomy. And I know that like I wasn't sure where, but it was the same scene that kept popping up. Did you have anything like what did you have to do with that scene, or where were you? Where can we find you in Grey's?
So I doubled Ellen Pompeo on one episode.
Okay.
She doesn't have a lot of stunts, and you know she was in like I think her hospital gown. So okay. You didn't really see her face or anything. But I think, I don't remember what season it was, but some guy blows up, and she's, like, right there, and then she basically gets thrown back on a wire
or
an explosion, and she hits the pavement
pretty much. She, yeah, she's got me watching that. So let's just say now, and we'll put it in later, maybe spoilers for season, I want to say like 2. So spoilers for season 2 of Grey's for anyone who's watching, I guess. Don't, there's no guy, there's no bomb, it's fine. but yeah, that was really cool. I just wanted to know, and I was just like wondering like where, because I guess it was such a fast scene that I was just like, I wonder where are you in the scene, or it was kind of hard to tell.
It might have been even season 1. I can't
it might have been. Yeah, I think... Gosh,
aren't they like season 25 or something?
Yeah, they're pretty much. Going? Yeah, they're still going.
They're still going. Yeah.
I'm never catching up.
Ended like 10 years ago.
I'm never catching up. I'm just admitting now. I'm not ever gonna catch up like with their shows. I'm just gonna just watch it every now and then.
Yeah.
So what? I guess since we're on the topic of TV shows, what's your favorite show that you've worked on?
I would have to say I have two. I would say when I doubled Elektra on Daredevil and Defenders, because working with Elodie Young was, like, amazing, and she's just, like, the coolest person ever. And then the second show would be Stargirl, which I worked on last year, which is airing now on DC, DC.
Okay.
And it's about a bunch of superheroes and villains that are set place like a kid's show, but it's really good, though. It's for everyone. But it's good for kids, but it's just a good show.
I'm trying to think of, would you happen to know who else is in that show? I can't think of it right now, just like...
Amy Smart and Luke Wilson.
Okay. It seems so familiar.
It's brand new.
Yeah.
I've heard it.
It seems like it's
I've seen
new.
The ads.
Oh, you've seen the ads? Nice. Finally. <Yeah. laughs> I guess... If anything, I think one of my main questions is, like, have you ever just, like, read a scene or, like, looked at a possible, like, job and you're just like, this is too insane. Like, there's no way this is happening. Like...
Yeah, all the time. I can't even tell you all the weird shows and movies I've ever been in, and I don't even know if some of them have aired. There's, like... Okay, this is gonna sound crazy. My girlfriend was stunt coordinating a movie, and she's like, okay, Lauren, I need you to play a clown stripper.
That's...
So I was like, okay, I'll do anything for money. No, I won't do anything. Not true. But the stunt was, I don't even know what the stunt was. I think we had to do like pole tricks, and then I think we got in a fight, and that's why she needed stunt people.
Okay.
But it was ridiculous. We had to wear like, I think like a bikini or like lingerie, and then I had like an afro, like one of those crazy like green afros with the red nose, and then my face was painted white.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was like so scary. It was like, I hope my phone never gets like hacked because it's on there and it is the scariest thing you've ever seen.
It sounds like a low budget like horror film kind of like that would be like somewhere in the
or
middle
a
of that or a comedy. Yeah, it could end up being a comedy too.
I mean, I'm
I really
sold.
No, but I have no idea. Another time I forgot the name of the actor, but it's called some movie called Officer Down.
Okay.
It's like a low budget film, and then I got called to play a gun-toting nun. So there's a scene where like nuns have machine guns,
like
and then,
hidden in like their robes, or like
yeah.
Okay,
and
that's
then, like,
pretty.
Take it up, we like shoot up, and then we get shot up by this crazy like officer.
That's
yeah,
pretty cool. That sounds pretty cool though. I'll be honest. That sounds cool.
This sounds.
And our makeup was crazy. We had like a cross on our face, and we had the whole nun thing, so our hair was like out, you know, like
yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds amazing.
it really does.
Those are the days where I'm like, yeah, I love my life.
This is the, you know, the era of film and TV, and like anything that is popular now is like pop culture is TV, TV is pop culture pretty much. And it just seems like from what you've said, there's like a decent, you know, amount of a need for like stunt women and actresses. Like how often do you run into like stunt women in your line of work, women that are actually working in stunts? Because it seems like, you know, we need a lot of people in stunts. It's such a high demand position.
Yeah, with all the action movies now, superhero movies out there.
Yeah, every comedy movie has an action scene. I was like,
right.
I'll mention it later, but I could go into this for days.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm just wondering, like, you know, like how often do you seem to run into people? I know you had someone sort of refer you to Mandalorian, or sorry, to Clone Wars, and so I'm just wondering, like, what's it like in your line of work?
Yeah, there's a lot of stunt women. There's actually a lot of stunt women in our industry, and every size, you know, small, tall, every race, I mean, you name it, we have it,
mm-hmm.
And, yeah, there's, that's why, because the industry is so, like, a lot of people want to be stunt people now, and because I think it's more well known now than it was like 10 years ago.
I bet.
So people try to get in the industry. We definitely have a surplus of people.
That's great to hear, though.
Does that make it harder to find work, or are you able to stay busy even with all these people getting into it?
When I first started, like 15 years ago, it was hard because it was a lot more competitive because they didn't let people in as much, and there was less roles for stunt people, or for Asian women too. Because if you think about how television and movies were like 10, 15 years ago, there was way less Asian people, more people like of color, on TV. So yeah, work was harder to find, and I was like struggling in the beginning. It was really difficult to find work. It would work like one day, 1 month, and then not work for another 3-4 months.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so you would have to have another job then. Now I've been in the industry a little longer now, so it's a lot easier for me to find work. And then once you get, you know, the ball rolling, jobs come a little more frequent. You know more people, word of mouth, all that. So that helps.
Do you have a do you have like a certain actor or actress that you've enjoy working with, or one that you want to work with?
I have a lot, actually. Like Lana Condor, I doubled her on Deadly Class. She was amazing. Elodie Young was one of my favorites. The actresses I doubled on Stargirl, Joy Osmansky, Meg DeLacy, and I doubled Yvette Monreal for one episode. They were all really amazing to work with. And people I want to work with, man, that list is endless. I also worked with Iko Uwais. I'm saying his name so wrong. The guy from Mile 22. He has his own show on Netflix called, I'm blanking out on it already. He has his own show on Netflix. Anyways, he did The Raid 1 and 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there an actor that you've like gone on to set that you've gotten to work with and it just felt surreal, or like pinch me now? You know.
Jackie Chan.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Yeah.
That was a little crazy. I was really nervous to work with him. Yeah.
I know. Oh my gosh. Jackie Chan is such an icon to stunt work, and just the amount, just as an actor alone, and then as a stunt as a stunt actor as well. I can't even imagine that, like working with him.
That's so cool. I was actually really like Matt Damon too. I was actually really nervous to meet him, even though, like, my sister-in-law is good friends with him. Small world. But still, I was just like, I can't believe I'm working with him. It's so cool, because, like, you know, there's something about A-list actors. I consider him an A-list actor.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think everyone does. I mean, can you just think about Matt Damon? Oh, my gosh. I was wondering, do you have any, like, what keeps you safe? Is it like a lucky rabbit's foot? Is it just like a regimen? What keeps you safe in your line of work?
Well, anytime I have like a big gag or a scary gag, I like do like a little like, okay, I'm gonna be fine, like a little meditation in my mind, like keep me safe, keep me, you know, surround, golden light around me, protect me, and then I envision that I'm doing the gag perfectly. Okay. So it really helps me a lot. And then there's like always like staying in shape, and then also taking care of my body. I do a lot of chiropractic, massage, physio, acupuncture. Like I try to take care of my body on an ongoing basis.
Okay. Gotcha.
I guess piggybacking off his question, you said you just kind of visualize, you know, being safe. I guess I do professional wrestling on the side. It's kind of as a hobby, right? So I guess I don't know if it's the same line of work, but like when I do it, a lot of the moves and stuff, because we're trained how to fall, how to do things, how to move our bodies. And like when I do that stuff, I kind of just have to do it and not think about it. Is it kind of the same with you? Is that kind of how you go into it?
Yeah, exactly. Like I'll literally, but the thing with stunts is that you have to like assess what could go wrong, because you want to prevent that from happening. So you're like, okay, if you go too short, this will happen. And if you don't jump high enough, this will happen, but do this, da, da, da. So you have like a list, And then you have to let it go because then you'll get in your head too much.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, yeah. That makes sense.
And then trust that everything will be okay.
Right. Right.
I know you said that, like, a lot of people are starting, or, like, it's really cool that the availability of stunt actors is starting to diversify. What kind of tips would you have for someone who wants to go into stunt work?
Man, a lot of things. I would say train. Training is the most important thing. You know, if you have no skill, no one's going to hire you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, take that very seriously. Take your health seriously. Network. And network with, you know, having a good head on your shoulders. Be humble. Listen to people. Because a lot of people just, like, talk over you, or they don't really listen or take the notes from people.
Mm-hmm.
Get jobs the right way, meaning don't sleep around.
that's for you.
That's for me.
And that's mainly for women, I think. But, oh, okay. Well, let's do, I guess.
I think it's a woman, right? You never know. Yeah.
2020, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, just be a good person, have a good personality on set. Like, people want to work with people that they can hang out with, not people. Right. I mean, if they're just super talented, yeah, that's cool. But at the end of the day, I'd rather hire someone that is, like, easy to work with, right?
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's always true, yeah. I think.
That's why we do the podcast.
Pretty much. I mean, it's cool working with Tyler. It's all right some days, you know. I'm a big gamer, so I've just been wondering, like, what was it like? I know you definitely have some experience with, like, one of the biggest games that has come out in the past, 2 months or so? The Last of Us, you've definitely been a part of that. I know you've done some of, like, the work on Resident Evil, which I obviously stay away from. I don't want to have nightmares. I've never played Resident Evil in my life. So what's it like, you know, working in, like, video games, but as a stunt actor as well?
It's a little different. You get more responsibility with the acting because you have to play the character as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not always doing the stunt work, but sometimes they hire you to do, like, movements for the actor. And every game is different, obviously.
Yeah.
So Last of Us was amazing because all the directors were super, like, creative and super, like, you know, everything was thought out.
Mm-hmm.
So they really think about how the shot should be, how the actors should move, and then they like to see what we do organically. But everything's is with intention, 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 intention. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool working for them because they're also very particular. So we would do certain takes, something that would be so simple, like looking at something in the horizon or, you know, talking to an actor on a horse. So we would sometimes do them, like, you know, 5 to 20 takes sometimes just to get it right.
Wow.
Perfect. Yeah, some scenes they just wanted it perfect in a certain way. And if it wasn't perfect, they would do it over and over and over again. And it was, like, very detail-oriented, which I really appreciated. Because mm-hmm. that's what makes that game stand out from a lot of other games, I think.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely one of the, like, AAA games that has come out pretty recently. It's definitely, it's got a lot of, I know from what I've seen, it's had a lot of comments. It just depends on what you, like, want from a game. But it's definitely one of, like, the mm-hmm. top few games that's come out in probably for this decade, since we're starting this decade.
It is a new decade.
Yeah, it is.
Is there a certain video game that you've enjoyed, like, you just had the time of your life on, or you're like, this is awesome?
I really enjoyed The Last of Us 2, but I also worked on Mortal Kombat 11, and NetherRealm Studios has literally been a family to me. Mm-hmm. They really took me in and really molded me, and I had the opportunity to play every character, every woman character, and in other characters as well. But I really got to hone in on all the characters. And it was so fun being there because I really try to transform into the character. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, if I'm Devorah, I'm like hunched over and like seething. Like, I'm like...
the fangs and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, but, like, drool coming on my mouth, and I don't even care because, you know, I'm Devorah, and I, like, summon bugs. So it was just so fun to play all these different characters, and, like, you know, they're all so different too. Mm-hmm. There's Scarlet, who's like a badass with, like, cutting herself with blood, and then, like, throwing that blood at people, and you know, it was just fun. So it was like Halloween.
That does sound fun.
Because I was gonna ask, like, do you play all of the video games that like you've like done work for, or do you just like try them out, or have any like become like something like household pretty much?
Well, I get stressed out like you with video games, like Resident Evil. I think I played that once, and I jumped so many times. And I enjoy watching people play. That's the weird thing. Like, I think a lot of people are into people watching people play.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I know streaming. Yeah. Streaming is such a huge thing nowadays. I mean, a lot of people don't see the point in it. But, I mean, for me, it's always been fun just watching other people play. And their take on it a lot is always fun to listen to. Yeah.
Way better than me.
Yeah.
I like to watch the cutscenes, too, cut up as, like, a movie.
That's what I'm doing.
So I've done that with like Injustice and Mortal Kombat, and it's just fun to watch.
I know. I know you said you get like stressed out sometimes. So did you have something to do with Dark Souls 2 as well?
I just did the trailer for
Okay.
that.
Okay. I was wondering, cuz I was thinking if you've played Dark Souls, then you know what true stress is like and playing Dark Souls, cuz I know that everyone that's played that game is just an insane gamer beyond any pro recognition because of their dedication to it.
Is that you?
No, I've never played Dark Souls. Okay. I'm too chicken for that.
Is that one worse than Resident Evil on the thrill factor?
I think less on the thrill. I don't want to say less than the thrill, but it's more about like how often can you go on dying and still want to keep coming back to play the game because it's so hard.
That just sounds frustrating.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if I can do that.
So would you? And so you've done video games and movies and TV shows. What do you enjoy working on the most? I know they probably all have their differences, and you know what do you enjoy doing the most?
I used to always say I always wanted to work on movies the most, but lately I feel like now it's switched. Like television is just as strong as TV, or television is just as strong as movies now. Mm-hmm. Like the stories are really developed. The action can be really exceptional as well. Something about a TV show that it really becomes family, and you get like this rhythm going with your team, and then you can do it again for next season. So that's where it's like an ongoing relationship that you have with people. And so that's what I really like, the relationships you build from that. So I really enjoy TV now.
And I think, I mean, especially in, like, TV shows, you really need to plan out very, very carefully, like, how a whole, like, let's say a season, let's say a whole episode is arranged, because, you know, TV shows are short, you have to have a certain amount of action to catch, like, the audience's attention, and so there's a lot of stunt work needed for an entire season, let alone one episode of a show.
Yeah, and that's another thing, like say there's, like, a fight scene in the movie, they'll get, like, a whole month to work on that.
Oh, wow. Where
like a fight scene on a TV show, they literally get a week to do that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Maybe
so time is cut in half. So you have to be faster, sharper, you know, better to like, you gotta just be on your shit.
Makes sense. That's super cool. Is there anything you have coming up that you wanted to talk about?
I do have my own projects I've been working on. I have my own YouTube channel where I have like my own projects that I worked on, and you guys can check out my YouTube channel, Lauren Mary Kim, and I have a project called Kali Diaries, and mm-hmm. It's literally a diary entry of all the fights I've done starting from day one until now. And then there's different martial arts in there as well, just to mix it up. So it's a fun little thing I wanted to do.
Listeners, I took a peek into that. I would definitely recommend it. It's a really fun watch. It's really cool, all the stuff that you did, especially all like the different locations that you shift between. That's all really awesome.
Well, thank you.
Just for the people listening in, like where would the average just like TV movie lover cinephile, just like where would they recognize you from, where could they see you on, or where are you most easily recognizable from?
Well, that's the whole point. We're stunt people. We're always dressed as the actor.
That's it.
So yeah, probably nowhere, but a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Best known for doubling Elektra on Daredevil and Defenders. I did the motion capture for Ahsoka for Clone Wars. I doubled Emily Swallow on The Armor. Those are like my highlight ones of my career. Most recently, you can see right now on television is CW Stargirl, which I double Shiv, Tigress, and one episode of Wildcat. What else? I do have an acting role on Iron Fist season 2 as okay. one of Crane sisters. So that okay. that one you can actually see my face and see me fight.
Okay, gotcha.
Were you? Did you act in Star Trek as well? I thought I saw that too on your.
I did, and then they cut my scene. Oh. I even had a line.
So do you? So you got to work with J.J. Abrams then, right?
I got that was.
How was that? How was he? How is it working for J.J. Abrams versus working for Dave Filoni?
Well, I only got to work with J.J. for like 1 week, whereas Dave okay. I've got to work with like a couple times. But J.J. was really cool. Like he was like, you know, the megaphones on set. Yeah. He was like singing and like making jokes. Like he was really cool. He's like a mega genius too. So that was like. Crazy to even see him in person.
Because I know that you have like one, I think you have a really intricate fight scene in like Furious 7. I know that's a really big role that you had. I believe, I can't remember who you were like in combat with.
I was playing a Middle Eastern guard fighting Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, Michelle Rodriguez. Okay. The scene in, I think it's like in Dubai or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to watch that again. Those
okay.
are good movies.
You haven't watched that?
Oh, I don't, it's been a while, man. So many of them. So many Furious movies.
Like Furious 27 right now, so
I mean that's probably gonna be a thing. I won't not go see it. I might I might rent it, but I'll see Furious 27.
It'll be geriatric fast.
Vin Diesel will still be in them.
They'll be racing with flying cars.
I think so.
With Teslas. With flying Teslas.
Well, I don't know. Teslas are probably pretty fast. They'll probably be like the, what's the, when you can't walk anymore? The walker?
The
scooters? The
motor scooter things?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm imagining.
I can see that. Yeah. I'm seeing that right now. We can write the script for that tonight for Furious 27. Yeah. We'll submit it.
They'll call you back doing some cool flips with them. And... Well, thank you for taking the time out and talking to us and for us getting to know you, and it's been fun talking.
It's been so cool. Thank you so much again for taking the time. No, there's no way to say thank you too many times. Yes, thank you
really
so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. I had fun. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, bye. See ya.
And there you have it, folks. That was none other than Lauren Mary Kim. She was amazing to talk to. Such a fun conversation. Such a fun time. We can't thank her enough for coming on the show. We cannot wait to have her back. We cannot wait to see what she has in store and what other projects she'll be working on. We did want to let you know, we did just launch our first ever Carbonite Crew t-shirt. You guys can find that over at bonfire.com. The link is in our Facebook and Instagram bios, so hopefully you guys can check that out. It comes in 5 different colors, and it is only $22.99. That's a pretty good price for a t-shirt, I think. And it's our first ever one. So help out some podcasters. And we hope you guys like the shirt. It's pretty cool. It's pretty simple design, just commemorating all 9 films with basically just one word from the title on all of them. So we hope you guys can enjoy it. Go check it out. Thank you for listening to the Carbonite Crew podcast. May the Force be with you.